And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. And we are going to today talk about our next door neighbors over there in Area 51. We just don't want anybody like the CIA, NSA, Project Blue Book, anybody like that listening in. So top secret stuff going on here. I just remembered that someone had sent me recently, there it is right there, their testimony concerning seeing strange lights in the sky here a few weeks ago. And I think I tweeted this. I think I sent it out to people, posted it probably on the Pastor Mike Online Facebook page, which is right here, facebook.com/Pastor Mike Online. I think I posted it there. In the St. Louis area, if you go across the river into Illinois, there's this beautiful park that they have. You can go there and you can see downtown St. Louis. You can see the Gateway Arch, and it's an amazing thing. If you come to visit us here at Bethel, my recommendation is go to the Arch. All right. It's neat going up there. You get these little rides that go all the way up the arch. It's pretty fun. But anyway, there was a, I guess like a security camera that captured a light that appeared to be descending and then hovering near the area of the arch. It went all the way down to the ground, raised back up again, went down, and as I'm watching it, my impression is, well, that's a drone. Clearly, that is someone's drone. They've got a light on it, and it, because the motion of it appeared to be drone-ish, if that's a word. Then, at the end of the video, whoosh, the thing took off and ascended out of the sight line of the camera. But just from the angle and the distance that it was showing up in, this thing went from ground level to several hundred feet in the air in less than a second. I mean, it was gone. Now, that always... Oh, there's my... How you doing? Wave to everybody. Boy, when I say I want tea, I get tea. So anyway, I don't know what it was. That is the definition of the word unidentified. We don't know what it is. Project Blue Book, a legitimate study done by the United States Air Force, because all of a sudden now, all of these sightings of what they called unidentified flying objects, flying saucers, lights in the sky, strange lights in the sky. The Air Force pilots had a term for them. They called them Foo Fighters. And I think they called them that probably because the UFO name plus the fact that these things seem to be playing games with these Air Force flying jets, these fighter jets. And so there's many names for them and many identities that they have taken on. But we have seen in the 1900s and into our century, more or less an explosion of sightings of, irregular phenomenon. Unnatural things being seen, unidentified things being seen, with no reasonable, logical explanation of them whatsoever. Now, I do not believe everything that the National Enquirer prints about UFOs. I don't believe every video that I see on YouTube or any place else, I don't believe that they're all legitimate. That's what the Air Force concluded. They sent out investigators. One of the men associated with that project was a scientist by the name of J. Allen Hynek. Hynek was a skeptic. He was a scientist, and he said, this is nothing. It's a bunch of hooey. People need to quit drinking. And that was sort of his concept of the entire UFO phenomenon. When he got involved with the investigation, his attitude and his mind were changed. So much so that if you've ever seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which is, it was the first movie that my mom took me to all by myself. I'll never forget it. She took me to the LaJade Cinema, downtown Main Street, Festus, Missouri, dropped me off, and I got to watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and I was stunned. But J. Allen Hynek actually made a cameo appearance in Close Encounters when the mothership is about ready to descend down, and the camera goes across all these government scientists and agents standing down there. J. Allen Hynek's got his pipe in his mouth, and he's looking very scholarly at this mothership descending down, and the aliens are about ready to come out. So he went from skeptic to somewhat of a believer, and he said, and this was the result of Project Blue Book, most of the things that they investigated, they said, had some sort of natural explanation. Airplanes, jets, weather balloons, swamp gas, hysteria, things like that. There was an explanation for them. But here's what Blue Book concluded. Here's what Hynek concluded. Here is what a lot of other people have come to the conclusion of, is that there are things that have happened, things that have appeared in the sky, encounters that people have had, that has no earthly explanation. It has no natural explanation. We can't identify the object that was flying in the sky. Hence the term, I think it was like 4% or something like that, of all the cases that Blue Book researched. It was a low percent, but it was a percent nonetheless. They couldn't identify the object. There was no earthly cause or reason or rationale to what these people were seeing. So it left the question open, do UFOs exist? What are they? What planet do they come from? Who's inhabiting these flying objects? Why are they bothering us? What do they want from us? What is their agenda? And the question that I tweeted today, and this is the topic du jour, what is there a quote-unquote alien agenda? Does it exist? Is it real? You know me. Anything that we do, we are going to do that. We're going to think Bible. This is actually a subject that, I'm just going to be honest with you. In 1997, a year after I became pastor here at Bethel Church, God laid it on my heart to study Bible prophecy. And I thought, man, that'd be great. And one of the topics that I thought on that particular day that I thought that I would look into was the UFO / alien topic. And I knew that it was going to be weird and people were going to go, oh my goodness, there he goes again with the UFO stuff. I knew people were going to do that, react that way. So I've sort of limited myself as to how often I speak on this particular topic, but I can't ignore it. I can't just say, that's people doing meth. That's a bunch of nonsense. Nobody see, that's not in the Bible anywhere. And I just have this inquisitive mind. I want to know things. I want to know secrets and mysteries. I want to unravel things. I want to open up secret doors and say, I found you in there. That's my nature. I've been reading books on UFOs since I was in school. When we had library day, I went to the library and I found books on UFOs, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, Treasure, Oak Island, anything that had a mystery to it. That's what I looked into. And boy, was God opening me up for this right here. I can see it clearly. So again, what I'm going to share with you today, we're going to walk through the Bible. And I am going to be careful how I handle my Bible, because I am not allowed by God to handle it deceitfully. I can't just say, look, I believe there's aliens, I believe there's UFOs up there, I believe that people are getting abducted and getting tests done on them and all that stuff, and it's all over the Bible. I can't just say that unless I can see clearly in the Bible that there is an agenda, what that agenda is. I can't twist scriptures. I can't redefine scriptures. I can't retranslate scriptures. My goal for the last 20 years has been to let the Bible say what it wants to say, and then awaken people, or at least arouse their interest or their curiosity, and give even the most hardened of skeptics, give them at least a reason to suspect that there is something happening. There is something going on in this world. There is something that literally is going to shake the foundation of what most people believe. Now, I say what most people, not all. Because I absolutely believe that the very elect, the word very does not mean a higher degree of elect people. And some people read it that way. Oh, if it possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And some look at it and say, well, there's the little peon elect and the lower level elect. And they're kind of Christians, but they're not really good at it. And then there's the very elect, which is what I am. The word very simply means truly, veritas, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, verify was where we get the word. Very elect simply means those who are elect, those who are truly saved versus those who lie about being a Christian, who lie about being saved. And we encounter people like that all the time. The very elect cannot be deceived. God will not allow us to be deceived. And if you are, number one, a lover of God, if you love God's ways, if you love God's kingdom, if you love God's word and you treat it with respect and you look at it as it has and contains the very truth of God and it has no mixture of error in it whatsoever, and that includes the very English words that we have in our King James Bible, if you believe that, God will teach you things and God will show you things and God will reveal things to you that is a mystery to everybody else. And they won't get it and they will be deceived. You might as well open to 2 Thessalonians 2, because that's where I'm driving to. 2 Thessalonians 2. And again, I'm just going to, for those of you who might be skeptics or those of you who would say, you know, I listen to Mike Hoggard and I kind of like some of this stuff, but he gets off on that UFO stuff. That stuff ain't the Bible. Now, he's making all that stuff up now. If you are that type of skeptic, what I would like to do today is to say, here is what the Word of God says. You make the call, all right? You decide what you're going to believe about it. You decide whether you think it applies to the UFO phenomenon, where Jimmy Hoffa is. Are there really Sasquatches down in Fort Worth, Texas? I had a guy tell me a story. I didn't have any reason to disbelieve the story he told. He was not... I don't want to offend Texans. I don't want to offend country people, people from the South. I don't want to offend anybody. But y'all know that sometimes hillbillies and rednecks and just plain country folk just have a way of sort of expanding the truth sometimes. This guy was a businessman down in Fort Worth. He had a buddy that was a greenskeeper at a golf course. That's the word I was trying to think of. Difficult words. And they, from time to time, his buddy would let him in at night, and they would fish some of the ponds that they had out there. One night, his buddy called him and said, "Yeah, are you going to fish tonight?" "Yeah, I'll be out there." So at night, he's walking across these golf greens, and he's going to the pond, or he sees his buddy out there in a pond, and he comes into a clearing, and he sees this massive figure standing there watching his, this is at night, watching his buddy fish. And he walked up upon it, and he said he just stopped. And this thing turned around, looked right at him, and then kind of trotted off. And he just stood there for like 5 minutes trying not to wet himself. And he told me that. He said, "Now, you can believe me or not, this guy was a businessman. He was a professional. He was educated. No reason, really, I guess, to lie to me. He wasn't trying to get on the news or anything like that. He just said that he..." And I didn't even know that there were Bigfoot sightings down in Texas. I thought the armadillos ate them all up, okay? But there have been. So anyway, if nothing else, by the time we're done with this, you'll say, "You know what? I know what the Bible says, and yes, it's possible that it could be referring to something like this." 2 Thessalonians 2. We know that this particular chapter, this part here, is giving us warning about the man of sin, the son of perdition. But there is an idea that's associated with this. He says in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians 2, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Now, when I see that word mystery, when I see the word secret, I want to know what it is. I want to know the mystery. I want it to be revealed. I want to see it for what it really is. That's what drove me to, I wanted to know what Masons were covering up. I wanted to know what their secret was. So I read their books. I watched the History Channel talk about Freemasons. I read Dan Brown. I'd read everything I could get my hands on, looking for them to write their secret down, and they didn't do it. Manly Hall didn't do it. Fat Albert Pike, hey, "I'm a third degree." He didn't write it in there. The House of the Temple Lodge in D.C. has probably a 10,000-volume library of ancient books on Masonry, Rosicrucianism, you name it, they've got it. They'll let anybody go in there and read anything they want. It's because they know that nobody wrote it down. And it made me angry. And I want to know what that secret is. Well, you find it in the Bible. The mystery of iniquity. What is that? My first impression is that's related to the mystery of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:16, "For great is the mystery of godliness." And the very first thing that God says here is God was manifest in the flesh. I think you take that and flip it upside down, turn it 180 degrees, get its exact opposite, and I think you're dealing with the Antichrist. The mystery, he's not the mystery of godliness, he's the mystery of iniquity. He is hell in the flesh. He is sin in the flesh. He is a spirit made flesh. That's what I think it is. That's the relationship that I see. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, capital W, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, and look at here, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Lying wonders. Wonders that are designed to deceive people, trick them into believing something, destroying their old paradigm, bringing in a new paradigm, a new way of thinking, a new point of view, a whole new world. That's what it is. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Now, I'm say this to you. You say, well, bless God, I don't believe in them aliens. I don't believe in that UFO stuff, okay? Let me just tell you. If you are an unrepentant, unregenerated sinner, whatever sin is big in your eyes and part of your daily life, it will deceive you. You will believe things that are not true. Let me say this. You can be right or think you're right on all the conspiracy theories. You can insist that 9/11 was an inside job. You can say that you have proof that JFK was fired at least two positions, maybe three or four. You can say that you believe in this kind of earth or this kind of earth, or and you can believe and be warning everybody about all the conspiracy theories. The banks are going to fail. There's a bank conspiracy going on here. There's a United Nations. You can have all of those right and get a mark in your right hand or in your forehead. You can be right on conspiracy theories. You can make YouTube videos, write blogs, send out email alerts to people. You can do all of those things and be lost and go to hell or get a mark in your right hand or forehead. The one thing that you're wrong about, which is, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You could be wrong on that one and die and go to hell or get a mark in your right hand or forehead. Just because you are, quote unquote, a truther does not mean that you're saved. Okay? And I like to establish that because, let's face it. The audience of Prophetic Research Ministry are people that have an interest in 9/11, UFOs, the United Nations, the Bilderberg meeting, the bank conspiracy, the global elitists. That's the audience. And I've encountered, I met a guy one time at a Club O Prophecy meeting down in Birmingham, Alabama. And he introduced himself. He said, "Hey, Pastor Mike, I'm such and such." He said, I'm the director and the state representative of MUFON of Alabama. You know what that is? And I said, yeah, Mutual UFO Network. Well, I'm kind of surprised you know what that is. A lot of preachers don't get into that stuff. I said, yeah, I know what it is. And he said, they've put me in the top position here in the state of Alabama. And he said, I'm the director for all the MUFON activity that goes on in the state of Alabama. And then he started talking about how he had evidence that they were from this particular planet out by this star and this and that and the other. And I let him talk for a while. And I said, sir, I don't mean to be disrespectful. I said, but everything you just told me, none of that is true. I said, that is not what the Bible says. And he kind of got upset with me because I said that. And it became obvious to me that he didn't. He believed in conspiracy theories. That's why he was at the Club O Prophecy meeting. He believed in conspiracy theories. He believed in a government cover-up. He believed in all these things. But he didn't believe the Word of God. And that, my friends, is essential. Because if you have not been anchored by the immovable, incorruptible Word of God. If you are not anchored by that, you're going to float away with the rest of them. And I'm not kidding. You have got to believe what this book says. And if you say, well, you know, that King James, that was all, he's a homosexual. And he said, that's Francis Bacon, Hammond Bacon, that wrote all that King James stuff in there. He put all them secret words and stuff like that in the King James. That's evidence. I mean, I know that's true. If you want to go in that direction, you be my guest. But you know what that leaves you with as far as what really is true in this world? Nothing. Because if you've gotten so far in your conspiracies that you think even the Bible, the King James Bible, is written all by Freemasons. All the translators, King James was a big Freemason. If that's what you believe, you're left with absolutely nothing that's 100% true in this world. And I feel sorry for you. I do. I feel like something has been stolen from you that without God's grace you'll never get back. You'll fall for the deception. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. What did Jesus say the truth was? Did he say the truth is out there? No, he didn't say that. Did he say the truth is locked up in an Area 52, Area 51 warehouse? He didn't say that. He said in John 17, thy word is truth. And those of you who do not want to be deceived, you have to love the Bible. You have to appreciate it. You have to reverence it. You have to respect it. You have to regard it as the final, highest authority on everything. And it's your obligation to believe what God said in His Word without having it retranslated or without having it twisted. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I think there is a very large deception coming, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So anytime you set either yourself up, or you set up your favorite YouTube channel, or your favorite false teacher, or your favorite book, or whatever it is, anytime you set those up as your authority and disregard even one verse out of the Bible. Because with God, it's all or nothing. You either believe everything that's written in that Bible, or you're as good as believing nothing that's in that Bible. That's how God sees this thing. Let me see if I can print that out real quick, and I might read a little bit of what there. Anyway, after I shared this story about these lights in the St. Louis area, a family got in touch with me, and they said, we'd like to share our testimony with you, some things that we saw. And they sent it to me, and I have it in my notes. And I may get to a point where I can read it today, but we may run out of time. But I don't have any reason to believe that these people would be lying to me. Could they be? They could be. Anybody. I can lie. But I don't think they have a reason to make this up, because let's just face it. UFO stories are not something that you talk about at dinner parties, because then you find out that everybody's talking to everybody else about you and not with you and to you. I mean, that's just what you find out. So it takes a lot. If you've ever seen strange lights in the sky, which I don't think I have. I don't think I've ever seen. My dad and I were camping one year out by the Mississippi River. We were doing some fishing out there. And one night we were sitting around the fire, and this light came on, and it was bright. And it was shining down. It shined across the river, and it shined on us for a little while, and then it left. Now, I don't remember hearing helicopter sounds or anything like that. I have no idea what that was. It was just, Dad thought it was strange. I thought it was strange. But I can't say that I've ever seen a UFO. But a lot of people say they have. And now we're living in an age right now where the UFO agenda or the UFO idea is moving into the mainstream. It's moving into where you have scientists now who are actively looking for life outside of this world. Here is a couple of what was that all about? Hang on, I got to do something. Let's see, what do I do here? Do that. I change the settings. Let's see here. Screen. Okay, yeah, there it is right there. Capture audio. Got it. Now it won't happen. Let's see. Let's try it. Ready? One, two, three. Phew. What that was, it was feedback. It was getting feedback, all right? Anyway, these two articles came out over the weekend. Number one, is Earth being contacted by aliens? Mystery radio signals coming from a sun-like star baffle scientist. A spike in radio signals coming from the direction of a sun-like star has excited... I don't know how astronomers get excited. I don't know how they do that. Do they, like, get spittle running down their chin or, you know, whatever. They have to go to the bathroom or whatever. I don't know how they do it, but they got excited. The signals seem to be originating from a star known as HD 164595. I look at that star every night. I think it's one of the most fascinating stars in the world. In the constellation Hercules, around 95 light years away. You know what a light year is? The speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. So you multiply, you find out the number of seconds in 1 year, multiply that number by 185,000, and what you get is the number of miles that light can travel in 1 year. 1 year. When they say it's 95 light years away, you'd say, oh, 95 years, that's not too long. You have to multiply, you have to do the math on that, all right? And we have nothing that travels the speed of light, by the way. Scientists suggest that they are likely to be the result of a natural phenomenon such as microlensing. I know about that. I know what that is, but I don't want to deal with it today, in which the star's gravity strengthens and focuses signals from elsewhere. But astronomers have also asked SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. These are not just your average run-of-the-mill trailer park UFO chasers. These, and don't be offended if you live in a trailer park, okay? These are scientists. This is government funding. This is intellectuals who are listening, looking, doing research into finding evidence for life on another planet or in space somewhere outside of planet Earth. They've asked SETI to take a closer look at whether they could be a message from ET. What else could it be? A star planet can act as a cosmic lens to magnify and brighten a more distant star or signal lined up behind it. That's because the gravitational field of the foreground star bends and focuses light like a glass lens, bending and focusing starlight in a telescope. Let's see here. SETI will track HD 164595 using the Allen Telescope Array in Northern California and the Bouquet Optical SETI Observatory in Panama. You can read more of that article. Let me kind of move through to the second story. Strong signal stirs interest in hunt for alien life. Let me get my paper here. Let's see here. What paper is that? Right here. Here we go. A strong signal detected by a radio telescope in Russia that is scanning the heavens for signs of extraterrestrial life has stirred interest among the scientific community. No one is claiming that this is the work of an extraterrestrial civilization, but it is certainly worth further study, said Paul Gilster, author of Centauri Dreams website, which covers peer-reviewed research on deep space exploration. Peer-reviewed means you have a field of scientists, and one of the scientists will release an article, a paper, a theorem. He will release that, and those who are his peers, those fellow scientists, will examine his evidence, will either agree or disagree with his theories, with his ideas. They'll do it using scientific instruments and calculators and slide rules and telescopes and all of that stuff. But what I'm telling you is that the idea that there might be life outside of the atmosphere of this planet has a lot more scientists involved in it now than, let's say, 40, 50 years ago. Back then, somebody brings up UFOs, scientists go, there's no such thing. Quit wasting your time on that, okay? But now you have an interest in it. Now you have a belief in it. I imagine with all of the movies that have come out, E.T., Close Encounters, Independence Day, Star Wars, Star Trek, UFO movies, alien movies, alien contact movies, even the guy who did Carl Sagan, the noted scientist and physicist, star of the Cosmos series from the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, Carl Sagan believed that with all the billions and billions of planets all over the universe, there had to be some of those planets inhabited by some sort of life form. And his idea was that more than likely there would be a civilization out there that is far more advanced than what we are now. In fact, he wrote a book about it. It was turned into a movie with Jodie Foster. It was called Contact. And it was basically his theorizing of how this alien intelligence would get in contact with us, how we would make first contact with them. And it was written from a physicist point of view. He was writing as if he actually believed that there was life out there and an advanced civilization beyond the reaches of planet Earth that at some point would attempt to make contact with us. So you have a lot more scientists now believing it. The average Joe, and that could be a man or a woman, J-O-E or J-O, the average Joe on the street, with all the, like I say, with all the movies, all the books, all of the hype, all of their knowledge that science is actually looking into the possibility of life on other planets, including the possibility that there has been or might still be life on Mars. The average person now is more open to the possibility that there is life out beyond the Earth somewhere. Do I believe that? The answer is yes. I do believe that. Let me read you what I believe from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15. That's the first thing that jumped in my mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this chapter, in my opinion, my humble opinion, also establishes the idea that not only is there life outside of planet Earth, but that life has a genetic identity. And 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the places that I think teaches that. Let's go to, let's see here. verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Now, Paul's his primary teaching is about the resurrection. Is there life after death? This is another question that scientists seem to be now tackling. They're more open to it now than they have been in years. And you've heard me say this before. I was talking about it Sunday night. It just seems like the more that science finds out about the universe, the more right this Bible is. It doesn't. What's being uncovered by science, and I'm not talking about their stupid theories. I'm talking about evidence, fact. What's being uncovered by scientists is only revealing the truth that has been in the Bible all this time. For instance, DNA. DNA has been discovered to not be just this random scattering of how life is made or how a body is formed of any kind. The scientists now know that it is laid out in a particular order, in a fashion. It is written just like a book, and they are able now to read that book. They know in many places what it says, what it does. They're still finding out more, but they're telling you, yeah, DNA, if you wanted to make DNA out into be something, you could say, well, it's like a book. It even has stop codons, which means it has a paragraph marker and a period at the end of the sentence telling you that another sentence is going to start. That's how marvelous science has discovered DNA to be. And David wrote 3,000 years ago that DNA was a book that had all the members of his body written in it. Even before they were formed, they were already written there. So this Bible's right. So it's establishing to you the idea that there's a resurrection, there is life after death, and that there are bodies that exist outside of this earth. He said in verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And he's talking about seed. Seed is what? Seed is nothing more than a bundle of DNA that is surrounded by some sort of protective package. That's what seed is. Seed essentially is DNA. It's the book of life. So you look in verse 38. God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Simply put, if it has a body, it has a book that made it that way. You might say, well, that only applies to like things on this earth. Does it say that? Let's keep reading. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. Think of Baphomet, by the way. Baphomet is not one particular kind of creature or created being. He is the combination of all of them. Baphomet has the body of a man, the head of a beast. He has the belly with scales on it like fish, and he has wings like a bird. And then he says in verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now here's what he's telling you. There are existing right now not just bodies terrestrial. Terra means earth. There, of course, are living life forms on the earth that have bodies, and those bodies were generated by a code book called DNA. The Bible refers to it as seed. But then it also tells you that there are bodies celestial. And this is where I think a lot of the misunderstanding of people, and I'm not calling people ignorant or giving them names or anything like that, but some people, they ask the legitimate question, well, how if that was angels in Genesis 6, how did they do that? Because angels are spirits. They don't have a body. Well, part of that is true. They are spirits. But our perception of spirits is that it has no form. It's just a like a a glowing mass of gas or something like Casper, the friendly ghost. Casper can slide in and out of doors, and you can't shake Casper's hand because it just goes right through. I think Hollywood, or maybe man's imagination, has built an image in his mind of what a spiritual being, a spirit being, looks like, or what it appears like. And when you say, well, you know, in Genesis 18, the Bible says there was three men that came to meet Abraham, and two of those men went on to Sodom. And I've had people say, well, that's how they appeared to us, but that's not really who they are. That's not in the Bible anywhere. That idea that angels or spiritual beings appear as one form, but they're not really that form, that is not contained in the scriptures. It is not this anthropomorphic language that some of the scholars want you to think. They don't believe that spirits actually have a form to them and a body to them. It's just a higher form of body. It is a body that exists in a higher dimension than the one that you and I are in. But if you read Hebrews, Hebrews will tell you that in the Old Testament, Moses and the tabernacle and the sacrifices and the Levite priests, they were all real as far as our reality is concerned. But according to Hebrews, they were only shadows of the real thing and not the very thing itself. So according to the Bible, if anything in this universe, in God's creation, is real, it would have to be the spirit realm. We're just the shadow of what's real. Do angels have bodies? According to the Bible, they do. Do angels or spirits or devils have a form? According to the Bible, they do. Are spirits nothing more? God is a spirit. That's what the Bible says. Does God have a right arm and a left arm? According to the Bible, he does. And you'll never be able to show me a verse in the Bible that says he doesn't. That he just appears that way for our benefit, so he doesn't scare us. It doesn't say that anywhere. It tells you that God has eyes. Noah found grace in him. God has ears to hear. God has a mighty right arm, and God has a hand, and that hand is solid enough to be able to hold a book in it. God has feet, because the earth is his footstool. God has a backside, does he not? What was Moses allowed to see? God's backside. It sits on a throne. God has a body, but it's not like our three-dimensional limited body. And according to 1 Corinthians 15, there are terrestrial bodies and there are celestial bodies. Celestial means of the outer space realm or of the heavenly realm. And according to the Bible, those bodies are real. They are formed and created by God, and they came from some form of book, like DNA, that made them. They were formed by, if you want it in simpler terms, they were formed by the Word of God, just like you and I were. And so, do I believe that there are life forms outside of this planet? Absolutely. Do I believe that some of them are benevolent, that they are friends to mankind, that they help and aid mankind at times? You better believe I believe that. I've had angels spare me from death on more than one occasion. Ministering spirits. I don't think I've ever seen one. I don't think I've ever heard one. But as I look back on my life, I believe that God used ministering spirits to aid me and to keep me from dying. Electricity. Okay? What was it that knocked me away from the electrical current that was coursing through my body. And today is one of those days. I'm having a day today where I hurt all over because of the electrocution that happened 10 years ago. But I was prepared to die. I was telling myself, Mike, you're going to die right here. This is how it happens with you. I was very, very lucid. I was very aware of what was going on. And just before I was passing out, I said to myself, I don't want to leave my wife and kids. Boom. And it was over with. I believe that I was ministered to by angels. So are these bodies celestial? Are they beneficial to mankind? Yes. Are there these celestial beings? Are they malevolent? Are they malicious? Do they have evil intentions? Do they have evil purposes? Yes, absolutely. So let's look into what the Bible says, who they are, what they are, where they came from, what their goal is. Now, here is something that has fascinated me for years, and I'm going to tell you a little story. What I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you the truth. I met a guy. Whether he was telling me the truth, I don't know. But if you've ever heard any story about objects on the moon, could there be unnatural objects on the surface of the moon? Could there be? Here's an article. Strange alien structures captured on lunar orbiter circling the moon are evidence of a UFO colony. Now, I've seen things. I've seen pictures on Mars. I've seen other pictures of the moon. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, boy, you got to really stretch that one to believe that that's some sort of man-made object on Mars or the moon or whatever it is. You got to really, or Pluto or one of the moons of Jupiter. You got a real, I mean, that's a real stretch. I mean, okay, I'm not sure. Is there a face on Mars? Okay, I don't know. Never been there. Okay. I met a guy. What year was that? 1997. A guy that went to church here said that he worked with a man that told him that he had pictures of objects on the moon. And I'm just going, yeah, right. And he said, I met the guy. I arranged a meeting with him. And this was in the years, this was the time right as the internet is taking shape. People are getting on the internet. But even before that, there were people on computers that were, you remember, war games. They were using their phones and their modems, and they were hacking into certain things and so on and so on. This guy, here's what he told me. I'll just tell you what he told me. You can believe it or not. It's the first time I ever heard of something called Project Clementine. Again, I hadn't been reading internet websites and YouTube videos on this because they weren't in existence. This man told me, he said, I hack. That's what I do. And he said, I hacked into a Department of Defense server. And he said, I thought I had my tracks covered pretty well. I was bouncing through computers in China, Russia, Ukraine. And he said, I found pictures from Project Clementine that showed structures on the lunar surface. And I'm just going, okay. And he said, a few weeks after I found those, I got a knock on my door. Guy showed me his badge and he said, we need to see your computer. He was from the Department of Defense. They took his computer, his hard drive, Windows 3.1, may have been Windows 95 by then. But they took it, and they said, we don't ever want to catch you doing this again. And they left. Now, I'd never heard of Project Clementine. There is a there's a YouTube video. It's called the Disclosure Project. And what it is they have gathered these people from around the country, people who are educated, they seem to be reasonable, and they all stood up and gave their testimony of what they saw, what they witnessed. One of the people who testified in this video, the Disclosure Project, mentioned Project Clementine. When I heard that, I went, what did he just say, Project Clementine? And this man said, Project Clementine, high-resolution photos of the lunar surface, and he said, I saw pictures of structures on the lunar surface. Now, having told you all that, I cannot find in the Bible any evidence that there was some sort of something going on the moon. I don't see that in the Bible. So can I say, yeah, this guy's true? No, I can't say that. I cannot put that out as being, this is, you know, hey, this is really going on here. There's a government cover up. I have not seen the photographs. I myself have not ever hacked into a Department of Defense database and will not. Just in, you know, in case they're listening. Never have, never will. I'm not a hacker. Wouldn't know how to do it to begin with. But people are interested. There is something going on now that has captured people's attention. And they don't know where to turn. They don't know what's true or not. So let's go to what we know to be truth. First, let's look at the Bible definition for the word alien. Because what I tweeted today is there an alien agenda? I believe there is. And the Bible will define the word alien for you. Exodus 18:3, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. There's the definition right there. It is a person who is living in a land that is not of their nativity. Anybody that comes from Mexico, Canada, England, Spain, France, Kenya, it doesn't matter. Anybody who from any of these nations come to America, they are an alien in that this country is not their land of nativity. It is not their home. It is a strange world. By the way, my daughter showed me, or was it Matthew? One of my kids showed me a trailer for a movie coming up. And it's about the mission to Mars. And one of the astronauts that goes to Mars doesn't know she's pregnant until she gets to Mars. And she has this child on Mars. And the movie, I don't know when it's coming out, but the movie, he grows up on Mars. And then they figure out a way to get him to Earth. And now he is this alien on planet Earth. And I'm just going, there's something. I got to cue some music on that one. Okay? I think there's something going on here. But the definition of the word alien is they are in a place that is not where they are from. If you were to then take that and there, let's say, according to the Bible, there are life forms outside of this planet. They're called angels, devils, gods, sons of God. That's what they're called. They're called stars. That's what they're called in the Bible. They're called chariots. I'll show you that. When they are in this world, they are aliens. Because this is not the land of their nativity. This is not where they came from. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You and I were not born in the land of Israel. We are not citizens of Israel. And without Christ, we are an alien to the commonwealth or the land or the nation of Israel. But now we have been brought in. Now we have become citizens of the commonwealth of Israel. And I would that would be spiritual Israel. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean it doesn't exist except in our mind. I'm talking about the real Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, which is the mother of us all. That's the land now of my Arkansas is the state of my nativity. Pine Bluff, Arkansas. My parents left before the Clintons got in power, okay? But my second birth, I don't belong here in this world. I'm an alien to this planet because my birth, my second birth, was from heaven. I don't belong here. I think I want to go home one of these days. Can I hear God's people say amen? That was like the da-da-da song and the mule song at the same time. So that's the definition of an alien. So if there is a spiritual being, a life form from the celestial realm that is on this planet, that designates them as an alien in the purest form. So do I believe in aliens? The answer, of course, is yes. The two angels that accompanied Jesus on the way to Sodom, stopping at Abraham's house, they were aliens. Okay? The captain of the host that Joshua encountered before they went into Jericho, that was an alien. It was a spirit being, a celestial being, that does not originate from this planet, from this land. He comes from another nation, another place. Ephesians 6:11. This is now what we are fighting aliens, is what we are. If we've established that an alien is from a different land, a different nation, a different kingdom. In this case, the celestial realm. This, then, is who we are wrestling against. There not only is an alien race, but they are our enemies. And we are told to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what that word means? His sneaky little lies. His subtlety. The way he deceives people, and they don't know that they're being deceived. The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness. Think about that. On day four of creation, the stars were made. What are they? They rule over the night. Rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness where? In high places. How high? That's what we're going to look at. You've heard me reference this number four. What it represents is, the number three represents this world that you and I live in. We live in three dimensions, length, width, and depth. Everything that we perceive is perceived on the basis of our knowledge of three primary directions. There is a fourth spatial dimension that exists above us. We can't understand it. We cannot fathom it. We can't draw an object on a piece of paper that adequately shows what this fourth dimension looks like. But the Bible refers to it as high places. It refers to it as the celestial realm, that realm of the heavens. And these here that you see in Ephesians are the aliens that are the inhabitants of that realm, the fourth dimension, the spiritual realm. If the phrase fourth dimension sounds like science fiction to you, then I will use the term spiritual world, because that's where they're from, the celestial. They are celestial beings. They are from the fourth dimension. And when they are present here, they are aliens. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I think the evil day that is referenced here coincides with 2 Thessalonians 2, when God shall send strong delusion that they're going to believe a lie. I think those 2 days coincide. I think the evil day is going to be the day when a lie is told, a mystery is uncovered, a secret is revealed, and it is going to cause the entire world and every religious idea, every philosophical idea, every scientific idea, it's going to cause all of those to crumble and fall, with the exception of the very elect, those who are truly saved. But you and I, we're fighting the aliens, and we're fighting them. If you're like me, you fight them every day. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The fourth dimension. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. And I can remember the first time I read that, and I thought, well, there should be three there, because, you know, we live like in the three-dimensional world. 3D. I know we live in a three-dimensional world because I've worn 3D glasses before. First 3D movie I ever watched was Creature from the Black Lagoon, and I'm just going, that is the coolest thing I've ever... And it was in black and white, black and white and red and blue. But it was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm just going, oh, look at that. He's like swimming like toward me. That's, oh my goodness. And that was on a TV set that probably was this big. You remember the 70s? But I'm looking at this verse and I'm going, wait a minute. There's breadth and length and depth. That's three dimensions. And height. Now there's four. And I never thought of that before. And I'm going, why is there four directions here? So I went to the internet and I started reading things, everything I could find on the fourth dimension. And I've talked about that. I may revisit that one day and just kind of give you how the Bible describes it. But it's pretty good. The Bible knows all about the fourth dimension. It knows about it. It tells you what it looks like. It tells you what separates us from that realm, from that area. It's amazing. But notice the word height is what is used. Again, I believe that my Bible, properly translated, I believe that my Bible tells me everything that I need to know about a world that I cannot see. In a world that we cannot see, the Bible has the answers. I believe it does. I believe God gives us these glasses called King James Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Those are the two lenses that we see into an area that normally our regular eyes could not see it to it. And it refers to it as height. Job 22:12, is not God in the height of the heaven? Now, where is God? Is he sitting on a planet somewhere? The Mormons believe that. Finis Dake and all that crowd believes that. I don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't say that. God is in a different area altogether. He's in the height of the heaven. By the way, how high is it? Well, it's the most high. There's nothing higher than where God is, because he is the most high God. Is not God in the height of the heaven? And behold the height of the stars, how high they are. Job was writing this, and he didn't have a clue about the Hubble Space Telescope and about how far in 2016 we would be able to see into the heavens. And we can see... this universe is huge, and God is sitting at the top of it, and he can hold it all in his hand. That's how big God is. So according to Job, God, the stars, Those are the celestial bodies. Those are the celestial beings. They shine. God is in the height of the heaven, and the stars are in the height of the heaven. The angels are in the spiritual realm, the realm of the fourth dimension. Proverbs 25:3, the heaven for a height and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. The heaven for height. There it is. It says it again. So anytime we refer to these aliens, they are not from this earth. They are from even a higher dimension than you and I are in right now. And again, some of you may be listening to this going, he's lost it. He's gone. I assure you, I'm very, very reasonable. I want to use the word lucid, but I want you to think I said Lucifer. Lucid means the light is on and somebody's home. Okay, I could not be more sane than what I am right now. I am showing you what the Bible tells us about the world beyond us that we cannot see with our natural eyes. The only way we can know anything about it is from our Bible. And I'm just trying to take it at its simplistic, in a very simplistic manner. The fact that there is a spiritual realm, the Bible uses the number four to indicate that spiritual realm. How is New Jerusalem built? Four square. Okay? It indicates that New Jerusalem is not Independence, Missouri. It's not Eureka Springs, Arkansas. It's not New York City. It's not Old Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is from a place that is far beyond this realm, a higher place. All right? So it's using the word height to describe that fourth dimension. All right? Now, Genesis 1, we have another clue as to the nature of these aliens. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Four things. They are what we use to measure time with. And verse 15, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the fourth day. See, God even made them on the fourth day. Number four, signs, seasons, days, and years. Fourth day, he's showing you what they're related to, where they are. As far as from our vantage point, they are in a dimension that is higher than our dimension. That's what he's showing you there on the fourth day of creation. Psalm 148:1, praise you the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Isaiah 14, look at what Lucifer wants to do. He wants to ascend where? Above the heights of the clouds so that he can be like the Most High. Where does he wanting to go? Up there. He wants to ascend up there. By the way, it could be said that man also, having that spirit in us, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, mankind seeks to be like Lucifer. Man is in a fallen state. Man wants to ascend above the heights of the clouds. Man wants to be like the Most High. Man wants to go to the orbit of Earth. He wants to be in the space station. He wants to be on the moon. He wants to be on Mars. And man is never going to be content with what he's conquered in space. He is always going to go after something that is higher than that. And we have that imagery put into us. The whole Star Trek series is about the future where man finally is able to ascend above the heights of the clouds to go and visit other star systems in our galaxy, to go higher, to boldly go where no man has gone before. The ladies' room. Unless, of course, he goes in Target, okay? Anyway, man is a Lucifer-type being in that he wants to be like the Most High. He wants to be higher than everything. He wants to be like God. But what we're doing is we're establishing this idea of these beings that not only live outside of this earth, they live and exist in a completely different, higher dimension than you and I live in. Some describe these ships as being able to do things that the laws of physics don't allow for in our three-dimensional world. To be able to travel at high speeds and then turn a 90-degree turn without ever stopping, without ever squealing their tires, without ever slowing down or making a long curve, they're able to travel this way and then that way. What I saw in that video, St. Louis, if it was real, I don't know if it was, but if it was real, what I saw is something that defied the laws of the physical universe that you and I live under. I saw that object ascend upward at such a speed, I've never seen anything go up that fast, that quickly. Where are these aliens from? These spirits, these gods, these devils, they're from a higher place, and they have the ability to move in and out of our dimension in a way that we cannot fathom. Revelation chapter 12. Here's what the Bible says that these beings are. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. What does the Bible call these celestial beings, these celestial light forms? It calls them the stars of heaven. And some of you would say, yeah, see, Mike, that's, you know, you're making this stuff up. The Bible, it's just using that language. They're not really like stars. They're not really that, because our scientists have told us that these stars really are just luminous balls of gas that are, you know, 14 million light years away from the Earth, and it's impossible for all that to, you know, for them to actually be like stars falling down to the ground. Mike, you're just, but that's, and yet that's what the Bible says. And my question is, do we really know? And I mean, when I use the word know, I mean, do we really have 100% firm, exact, concrete knowledge that those lights, those constellations, those twinkle, twinkle little stars that are in the heavens, do we absolutely know 100% sure that that's all they are, is these luminous balls of gas that exists throughout our galaxy? Or does God know something about them that we haven't really paid much attention to? When God said, in fact, he not only said that in Revelation, in Revelation 12, in Revelation 6, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. God promised that when he comes the second time, he's going to shake not only the earth, but he's going to shake the heavens themselves. And when he does, just like if you shake a fig tree and these figs come falling off, even they're not ripe yet, God said that's how it's going to be. These objects, these celestial life forms, are going to fall to the earth. Do we have any evidence that a star is actually a living creature? Do we have any evidence whatsoever? Yeah. How about Revelation 9? The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the pit. Now, if, as you might say, well, these stars are just, you know, just luminous balls of gas in the galaxy. If that's all they are, how did God give one of them a key? And how did that star open the bottomless pit with the key? And why does the Bible call him a he? It's giving the star an actual living identity. And we know all through the Bible that stars are always a reference to angels. The morning stars sang out, and the sons of God shouted for joy. That's what Job said. The stars of the heavens, and this is what I want you to think of, they are the celestial bodies, the celestial light. By the way, when you and I are resurrected as sons of God, we will shine as lights in the world. Do we not believe what the Bible says about our future state? I do. And just because you may be having a hard time wrapping this around your head or thinking this way, I'm not here to judge you and say, ah, you don't believe the Bible like I do. I get enough of that from other people who boast about their little theories and what they believe, and they got it from the Bible. And if you want to believe the lies of this world, you go right on ahead. But I'm the one that believes the Bible. And just because you don't think the way I think, that doesn't mean you're any less than I am. So don't think I'm just condescending to you. I know it takes somebody every now and then to just kind of think a little different, and that's who I am. If you don't just accept this right away, don't, it's not a big deal between me and you. All right? Maybe this is just not your area of study. It doesn't interest you, but it does interest me. And I see in the Bible that stars are angels, and angels are stars. That's who they are. This particular angel in Revelation 9 apparently knew how to hold a key and open a door with it. And John called him a him. Not a thing, not an it, not a rock. Called him a him. Something to think about. Falling stars. Remember that image from the movie Starman? If you've never seen Starman, okay? Jeff Bridges. He is a being of light that falls from the heavens. Spaceship all busted up like Roswell, New Mexico. This image, this being of light, this celestial life form, finds the DNA on this hairbrush, I think, or comb or something like that, of this gal's, Karen Allen's dead husband, and transforms himself into the image of a human being. And oh, by the way, she's going to have his baby. If you've never seen Starman, if you don't believe Genesis 6, the way, and the sons of God were the angels, of that I have zero doubt. The Bible teaches that. The Bible says it. The Bible doesn't say anything but that. And they mated with human women. That's what Jeff Bridges did to Karen Allen in this movie. He told her, you're pregnant. You're going to have a baby. He's going to be my child. He's going to grow up and be a great teacher on this earth. And I'm just going. That sounds a little too much like Jesus Christ to me, Jeff. But these stars that fall to the earth, guess what they are? Alien life forms. Ezekiel 1, look at this. Ezekiel is describing these angels, cherubs, he calls them. Look at their description. And no, this is not just how they appeared to Ezekiel. This is how God made them. As I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. See that number four? With his four faces. And the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Look at Saturn. Look at it. Do you know what Saturn is? It's a wheel within a wheel. And you might be saying, okay, that's like a ball surrounded by rings, Mike. What is a wheel? Balls can be wheels. Okay, rings. Let's keep reading. Verse 17, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. See the rings? And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Are you catching that? Not only are they stars, not only are they stars, they're cars. The word car comes from the word cart or chariot. Same thing. They're wheels. Cart wheels. Wheels within wheels. When they went, the wheels went. Because the spirit of the living creature. Here's what's interesting. Ezekiel uses the term living creature. John called them beasts. Same thing. He's looking at the same thing. So look at that. The spirit of the beast was in the wheels. Now we can cue the music. Are you catching this, people? What are these disc-shaped objects in the skies? What are these brightly colored lights that are doing these funny things in the sky that we have no explanation for? What sort of vehicles are these? Who's controlling them? They're controlled by a spirit. They are a spirit. Verse 21, when those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature, or the spirit of the beast, was in the wheels. There's something else I just thought of in Ezekiel. I don't have it in my notes, but I'm going to turn there. Because Ezekiel describes how these creatures, these chariot wheels, he describes how they go. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 14, the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Think about that. Think about the speed at which these angels, these cherubs, these chariots, these... Think of these celestial life forms. Think of how fast they're able to go. They're able to travel from this point to a far point and then travel back as fast as lightning. Literally moving at the speed of light itself. Doing things that physically, in the physics of this world, we don't have an object that can travel at, number one, as fast as light. Number two, that can go to a certain point, stop, and then turn around and come back the way these did. These just went... When we travel any distance, and we're doing it very fast, before we stop, we always have to slow down. Slow down, stop, and then when we start back again, no one ever starts running at 30 miles an hour. We accelerate up to it. These creatures, these living life forms from the celestial realm, they don't do that. And the descriptions that some people give of these objects in the sky is that the things that they were able to do defy the laws of physics. We have no idea how they're able to do that. Daniel chapter 7, he describes four living creatures coming up out of the ocean. One of them had eagle's wings. Another one had four wings of a fowl. You know what? You know what he's establishing here? You know what he's telling you? These things fly. That's what he's saying. These things, they fly. Let me give you an illustration of that. Turn to Mark chapter 4. The language of the Bible that Jesus was teaching us. He was teaching us how to understand parables, how to understand symbols in the Bible, how to read the Bible and get what is being said, when all the while the reason why God wrote it a certain way is those who hate God, don't believe the Bible, they'll never get it. They'll never understand it. And when Jesus gave the parables, when he's giving this to the multitude, they're going, oh, wow, that's a neat story, Jesus. Cool. You got any bread, fish? Because, you know, we heard that you gave out bread and fish at these meetings. We're really hungry. But, by the way, that was a really great story, you know, about the seed and the sower and all that and the thorns. And, yeah, that was awesome, man. So Jesus gets with his disciples and they're going, okay, what was that all about? What was that, the seed and the sower thing? And Jesus said, how will you understand any parable? I'm going to have to give you the key. I'm going to have to tell you what it means. He said, the sower soweth the word, right? The Bible is the seed. And then he said in verse 15 of Mark 4, are they by the wayside where the word is sown? But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And if you go back to verse 4, it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. So he mentions here the fowls of the in verse 4. And then when he gives the definition of what these fowls are, he's telling you they're spirits. Anything with wings in the Bible is going to be indicative of an angelic being. In Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10, these cherubs have wings. We know the dragon has them because he is referred to as the flying fiery serpent. The early Mexicans, who was it? The Aztecs? They had a name for that. Called it Quetzalcoatl. The feathered serpent. The fiery flying serpent is who Quetzalcoatl was. Quetzalcoatl was an alien god to the Aztecs. He was a god to them that did not come from their land of nativity. He comes from a different realm. He is of another species, another nation, different type of body. And what you see here in Daniel 7, these living creatures, these beasts, this was a lion, had eagle's wings. This is a leopard that had four wings like the beast of a fowl and also had four heads. He's telling you that they're from the fourth dimension, fourth direction, the spiritual realm. Then we have the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. And he's not like any of the other beasts that came before him. He was diverse from them, different, different nature, different character. The fourth kingdom. Since we're dealing with the fourth dimension, where does the fourth kingdom come from? Where does it originate? Does it come out of the European Union? Does it come out of the revived Roman Empire? No. Bible didn't say anything about that. What it's telling you is that this fourth kingdom comes from the land of principalities and powers and the land of the rulers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's your fourth kingdom. And that's where these celestial life forms are from. And you're also getting now a clue as to what their goal is. What is their agenda? What is the alien? And again, I'm using the word alien as described and defined by the Bible. What is the alien agenda? Alien agenda is what the fourth kingdom is determined to do on this earth. Look, here's part of it right here. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces, bruise. Do you remember what God said about the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman? He told the serpent, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head, and thou what? Bruise his heel. Same word here. The iron kingdom breaks in pieces, subdues, conquers. Is there an... Let's not try to rely upon science fiction stories and National Enquirer articles and, you know, History Channel hyped up television series. Let's not rely on that. Let's think Bible. And according to the Bible, there is an alien agenda. An agenda, celestial life forms, their agenda is to subdue and conquer the entire earth. Now we can bring in science fiction movies. Okay, The Day the Earth Stood Still, V, the TV series, other movies where the aliens come down and they're going to take over the world. Independence Day. You see, we don't get our ideas from the movies and from science fiction. We get them from the Bible, and then we turn around and look. They made a movie about that. Their appearance is as chariots. You remember, if we were to go back to Ezekiel, these cherubs had a platform over their head. It was called a firmament. On that firmament was the throne of God. Underneath that firmament were four living creatures that had built-in wheels. Actually, they had wheels in the middle of wheels. And wherever the angels went, that's where the wheels went. The wheels took them over here and the wheels took them over there. Their appearance is as chariots. Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Revelation 9. Here we have alien life forms, celestial life forms, that have been held in prison in the heart of the earth. A star falls from heaven. An intelligent life form falls from heaven. And he was given a key to the bottomless pit. And this intelligent alien life form opens up a portal. And when he opens that up, other alien life forms come out of that portal. They had breastplates, as were the as breastplates of iron. There's your connection with the Iron Kingdom. And the sound of their wings, remember what wings, that wings denote that they are flying creatures. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. There's your connection right there. Chariot, living chariot beings. Living ones. And just in case you think that's way too outside of your reality to deal with, a living chariot, right? What is Google and Apple working on right now? Tesla, Google, Apple. What are they all working on? They're working on a car that is artificially intelligent and can make all of its own decisions about where it wants to take you. The driverless cars. My insurance agent told me, Mike, the insurance industry right now is wondering when the smart cars come out. When the electronic, artificially intelligent chariots come out and there's a wreck, who's responsible for paying the damages? Insurance company. And I asked him, he told me that last year, and I went to see him the other day, and I asked him, I said, so what was the verdict? He said, it's in the courts. They still don't know who's going to be responsible when these intelligent cars start driving everybody around. We're building these things, and we're going to, I don't want to get into all that, but anyway, you get the idea. Is it so hard to believe in a spiritual realm, fourth dimension, alien life form that itself is a chariot? When it says in Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. God made chariots that, or God made angels that look like horses. God made chariots that look like birds. He made, or chariots. He made angels that look like snakes and dragons and caterpillars. He made spirits that look like owls. He made spirits that look like satyrs. And he made spirits that look like, well, he made Lucifer a spirit that had musical instruments built into him. And in case you think that's weird, think of crickets. Crickets have musical instruments built into their bodies. That's how they make their sound. So it's not so far-fetched now as you might thought it to be. These chariots are themselves alien life in that they did not come from this earth. Have I lost you? Are you still there? Think about it. Look here. All throughout history, mankind has either dreaming of, fantasizing of, or actually being given knowledge of flying chariots. This is from ancient India. A horse-drawn chariot flying through the sky. And again, I don't have a problem believing that, because that's how Elijah went to heaven. He stepped into a chariot of fire. Dun, 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 dun. And that's how he left. God sent it down from heaven. Where is it? Zechariah or Zephaniah? One of the two. where he sees four horses, the chariots that they're pulling. And I think they are the ones related to the horses in Revelation chapter 6. Where is it? Zechariah? Anyway, the Bible specifically says that he's horses in these chariots, and he asks what they are, and the angel says, these are spirits. So the Bible is telling you what these things are. They are life forms that are alien to this world. They are not from this world. And men have been either seeing these in visions or seeing them with their eyes and drawing them. And now our enlightened, educated minds look back at that and say, well, that's just the fanciful imaginations of these ancient cults. I don't think so. Look here. Artwork. There's a ship here. There's one here. Here's Moses in the Ten Commandments, and you see these here? See that? For some reason, this wheel within a wheel is shining a light down through this wall and into this room. I have no idea what that could be. Here's my favorite. Here's a painting of the Virgin Mary, and in the background is a brightly illuminated flying disc wheel-shaped object, and this guy here is looking at it. Where did that come from? Men have been seeing these things for years. What is the explanation for them? They are chariots. I did a Watchmen video on this a couple years ago called UFOs to the Beast. If you want a copy of that, call us 636-931-3999. Send us an email, kingjamescode@gmail.com, and say, I want the UFOs, Chariots of the Beast video. And we'll get that out to you. A nation the Bible describes as an alien race that God is going to send as a form of judgment upon this earth. There is going to, listen, I'm going to say it like this. There is going to be an alien invasion. There, I said it. Do I really believe that? Yes. Where do I get that information from? Do I have somebody on the inside? I mean, I'm in Area 52. Did I see someone passing by in Area 51 and ask them, are we going to get invaded or what? Well, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but we already know that they're here. I don't have inside information. I don't know somebody that works for the Pentagon that hands me information all the time. I don't have that. I want it. Was the guy back in 96, 97, somewhere around there, was the guy who said that he saw pictures of some sort of buildings constructed on the moon as part of Project Clement. Do I believe what he said? I have no idea whether he was telling me the truth or not. What I know is what the Bible says, and I take it very, very serious. Deuteronomy 28:49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth. See the phrase, as swift as the eagle flieth? What does that denote? According to the Bible, these are spirits. A nation from far, from the end of the earth, as swift by the nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance all over the world. China, Japan, the Native Americans, First Nations, on their totem poles. They will call out an image of their spirits. And a lot of these spirits have this mean, angry... Think about it like this. Dolphins are never a threat to mankind. Dolphins love people. And we love dolphins. Even though dolphins are meat eaters, dolphins don't ever attack humans. Just not, maybe every now and then. It's an aberration. But normally the rule is dolphins and humans enjoy this little relationship. And if you ever seen a dolphin, God built a smile into their mouth. They smile all the time. Dolphins are never sad, ever. They're playful little, happy little creatures that smile at us all the time. Dolphins are not a threat. We love to see. You want to go see the dolphins? Oh, I love dolphins. Alligators and crocodiles never smile. An alligator or a crocodile's face was designed by God in such a way as that when we look at it, alligators just look angry all the time. They look angry. They look mean. They look vicious. No one ever says, honey, come on, let's go pet the alligators. Let's go. They're cute. Hey, no one ever says that. No one down in Florida ever tells their children, now, children, go down over there to the edge of the swamp, and if you see any alligators, go in and pet them. They're really not. No mom ever does that. Why? Tend to them a fierce countenance. There are spirits that God has given them a fierce countenance, and that's what this nation is. This nation, number one, they speak a language that no one understands. Did you ever see Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Because if you did, you'll know that it was common knowledge that us humans and the aliens would never be able to understand each other because they speak a language we don't know. And so the aliens taught the humans this common language that involved music and hand gestures and, you know, all that stuff, right? A language that we don't understand. And they're going to come as fierce as an eagle, a nation of fierce countenance that will not regard the person of the old nor show favor to the young. Deuteronomy 28, verse 52, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Coming down here. Because they need help fixing their chariots. They're not coming down here on a scientific expedition. God is going to send them here to conquer planet Earth. Believe it or not. Whether I use the language of these are evil spirits, these are devils, and God's going to release them on this earth to do very hideous. If I say it that way, you might receive it better. But if I say these are fourth dimensional alien life forms that will come with their chariots and conquer the earth, then I'm a weirdo. But essentially, that's what it is. We're talking about the fourth kingdom and how God is going to send them to this earth to conquer over this earth. Yes, there is going to be an alien invasion, and it will not be pretty. Jeremiah 5:15, lo, will I bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not. Notice that he said an ancient language, or ancient nation. Joel 1:6, for a nation has come up upon my land, strong without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion and hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble as a strong people set in battle array. Look at this. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. Did you ever see Signs? Okay, Mel Gibson. They shall enter in the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark. That's Revelation 6. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. This invasion that's coming is sent by God. These are God's army. And no, it's not the race of super Christians that Todd Bentley talks about. These are spirits. These are devils. These are celestial life forms from a different land, a different world, a different realm. These are the aliens. He mentions an ancient nation, an ancient people. Take a look at that. All throughout history. Where did these images come from? All these things. Who carved them out? Who drew them on the walls of temples? Who did that? Who were these beings that they carved them and drew them from? See this mountain here? Look at there. Someone on the side of this huge mountain carved out an image of something that doesn't look like anything that we've seen with our eyes. Where did it come from? I believe that these are references to an ancient alien in the very way the Bible defines it, not from this world, an ancient alien race, a fierce countenance. They're represented as reptiles. You'll hear stories. And again, a lot of these stories, one that I read, and I'm going to extend my time just a little bit. One story that I read years ago said that there was a battle of aliens in secret underground tunnels underneath the New World International Airport, Denver, Colorado. And the reptilian aliens were fighting the gray aliens. And there was members of the military there that were kind of caught in the... I mean, I've read those stories. I don't believe it. I don't. I don't believe that there was a war of UFO knots underneath the Denver International Airport. Okay? I believe it took place in Arizona, not Denver. I'm just kidding! I don't know if that's true or not. It wasn't there. But you have people all over the world claim they have had contact of some kind with some sort of reptilian-like creature. Here is a carving, a statue of a god. Looks like a reptile. What is it? They're represented as reptiles. To me, that's easy. It's simple. These movies, remember that one, Enemy Mine. I liked that movie. Okay. A race. They're called the Drax. Why? Draco. They're dragons. They're lizard people. V. 80s series. And the... when did that come out? 2006, 2007, somewhere around in there. Maybe 2010. They did a remake of it. ABC did a remake of it. And under that human skin were reptiles. Dun, dun, dun. I believe that. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon and having seven heads and ten horns. The devil, my friend, is a reptilian. There are, I believe, a multitude of angelic beings that have the appearance of reptiles, serpents, dragons, fire-flying serpents, you name it. All of these things, dragons, serpents, asps, fiery flying serpents, all of them are mentioned in those exact in your Bible. So when people start talking about, yeah, I was visited by aliens and they had the form of like reptiles and like lizards and things like that. I cannot say, oh, you're making that up. There's no such thing as that. There is. There are spirits that God made them in the form of reptiles. You say, well, I don't believe that, Hoggard. Okay, Revelation chapter 16. You know what Revelation chapter 16 says? In verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, now the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. It's the reptilians that are going to gather everybody in the earth to the valley of Megiddo, Armageddon, to fight Jesus. It's the reptilians that do that. These devils, these spirits, were in the shape of frogs. What did God invade Egypt with? Frogs. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. He's talking about the spirit of the devil. They worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Here is the presence of dragons being mentioned as when God moves man out of a certain area, the dragons will be there. Now, I've done a video called Where Dragons Live. You got to get a copy of that one. Call us, write us, we'll get it to you. It's along with another one called Mystery Creatures of the Bible, and I deal with what satyrs are and what fiery flying serpents are and unicorns. I believe in dragons and unicorns. They're in your Bible. Dragons always show up where man has ceased to inhabit that area. Isaiah 35:7, the habitation of dragons. Jeremiah 9:11, a den of dragons. Jeremiah 10:22, they're going to come out of the north country. By the way, that's where Joel's army comes from too. It's called the Northern Army, and they come up out of the north, which seems to indicate that's where, let's say, the direction of the fourth dimension is, because that's where God comes from in Ezekiel chapter 1. He came out of the north. And anyway, God said they're going to come out of the north country, and they're going to inhabit Judah, and it's going to become a den of dragons. They're going to live in the places where the humans used to live. Go watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind. When the government figures out where the aliens are going to come down and try to meet the humans, when they figure that out, they have to come up with a plan of getting everybody out of there. And the guy says this, and I'm just, my jaw dropped when I really caught hold of it. They're trying to, should we send in, you know, should we act like we, you know, we have the plague, or what, how can we get, and the guy says, we need a plan to get rid of every living Christian soul out of that land. He said Christian soul. And I'm going, Spielberg? Spielberg put that in there. I know Spielberg hates Jesus and he hates Bible-believing Christians. But the idea was, we can't have Christians where these alien life forms are going to come down, or they won't come. It's like beasts, because that's what they are. The grays, Whitley Strieber, he wrote several books. One was called Communion. It later was turned into a movie. Whitley said that he had been visited hundreds and hundreds of times by creatures that look like this. That's what they call them, the grays, the gray aliens. Incidentally, but not accidentally, Aleister Crowley came into contact with an alien life form, a celestial life form, whose name was Lam, L-A-M. And Crowley drew a picture of Lam. And Lam looks like every other gray alien account that there is. The only difference is in the shape of the eyes. But that's what Lam, that's what Crowley saw. Crowley saw, put it to you like this. Crowley saw a devil, a familiar spirit. But that familiar spirit is an alien. He did not come from this world. Crowley did not see some guy dressed up. He had a close encounter of the fourth kind. A creature, a living entity, an alien life form from another dimension. That's who Crowley came into contact with, and he drew his picture. And it just looks like the gray alien pictures that you see. I don't think this is an accident. I don't think it's made up. There was a movie called The Fourth Kind. It's a science fiction movie. You're made to think that they used actual footage from an event that took place. I fell for it at first, and then I did the research, and no, that's how the producers did it. And I've done some research into this, and I can tell you that a lot of people who have repeated encounters with these quote-unquote aliens, there is a connection with owls. And here's my theory. I think the image of gray aliens that people see are these creatures. Isaiah 13:21, owls shall dwell there. Isaiah 34:11, the owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. Isaiah 34:13, it should be a court for owls. 34:15, there shall the great owl make her nest. That's what I think. I think that the images that some people encounter when they encounter these alien life forms, these devils, these familiar spirits, they're owls. Owls are flying winged creatures. Therefore, according to the Bible, they represent spirits. That's who they are. And owls, I mean, they're noted for being, owls are rulers of the darkness of this world. Owls usually are night creatures. And they fall under the category of rulers of the darkness of this world. Very quickly, here's their purpose. Number one, it's takeover. The nation that comes against, that God is going to bring against them, as swift as the eagle, a nation whose tongue thou shalt understand, a nation of fierce countenance. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine or flocks of thy sheep until he have destroyed thee. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us, and consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, and our houses to aliens, the Bible says. Uses the exact word. You just think about it. Think not in the science fiction way, not in the National Enquirer way. Think about it in the way the Bible says. These are, in every sense of the word, alien beings, spirit beings, that God is going to allow because of our transgressions. God is going to allow our world to be inhabited and taken over by aliens, spirits, gods, devils, demons, familiar spirits, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. God is going to allow them to come and take over. That's the whole purpose of the fourth kingdom. I believe their other agenda is to destroy the seed royal. Think about what the fowls of the heaven did when the seed fell by the wayside. What did they come do? They ate it quickly. Why? Get rid of it. Then he said that Satan comes down and he takes the word away as soon as it's sown in somebody's heart. In Genesis 3, God said to the serpent that he's cursed, and he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, thou shalt bruise his heel. So the purpose, I think, of this alien agenda, these spirits, is to destroy the very seed, the very DNA type, the very bloodline of the people or the man that God said was going to bruise the serpent's head, namely Jesus Christ. So in Genesis chapter 6, what happened? They came down, the aliens, the sons of God, descended down, took them wives. These wives, they went in, they took them as wives, impregnated them. These women bore their children, and these were no ordinary children. They became mighty men of old, men of renown. Apollo, Hercules, Atlas, all of these demigods that have existed in myth, the Titans, all of these giants that have been about all throughout, all of these half-god, half-humans that are in all the mythologies and all the mystery religions and all the stories and the fables that have existed in every civilization throughout history. That's who they are. They are the seed of the aliens, the sons of God, devils, fallen angels, call them whatever you want to. That's who they are. And the giants are a hybridized race of these creatures. Daniel chapter 2, when that fourth kingdom shows up, and you've heard me say this before, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Are there really experiments being done in UFO ships where they're taking eggs from human women and inserting alien DNA into them and raising little half-human, half-alien children? I don't know that. I've heard the stories. I've read the stories. I've read several books on this subject. I don't know that. I don't know. I didn't see it. I have not encountered that. There are no photographs that I'm aware of. Only books. Only people's stories. So I don't know that. What I do know is that a nation, a race of celestial beings are going to mingle themselves in with man's DNA. That's what I know. In order, I believe, to corrupt all flesh. One more. Here's what God said. He said, Deuteronomy 7, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and Canaanites and Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Think that these nations are spiritual, celestial life forms. God said, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. And then verse 3, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give to his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take to thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, and that they may serve other gods. So will the anger kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Simply put, God said, when I send you in to destroy these things, don't marry them. Don't mingle with them. Don't let your sons marry them. Don't let your daughters marry them. Do not have relations with them. God said, don't. I want them destroyed. And so that, as simple as I can make it, is the alien agenda. And again, we're not talking about little green men or gray men flying saucers that came from Mars. We're talking about a nation, a very evil nation, a nation from beyond this three-dimensional realm that you and I live in, a fourth kingdom, evil nation, mightier than humans are going to be released to this earth to fulfill God's plan and God's agenda. God is going to allow these creatures to conquer. Every alien movie that you've ever seen where the aliens try to conquer Earth and we defeat them, it's all untrue. Because when God releases this nation to rule over this planet, their plan is going to succeed. And their plan is to gather everybody together to try to defeat Jesus. That, my friends, is where you and I get involved. Because we're going to be riding with Jesus on white horses going, yeah, it's time to shoot some aliens now. I've been waiting on this for years. It's what the Bible says. Okay? You can believe it or not. Maybe like sounding like this, and so you say, I'm not going to pay attention to that. But you know for a fact devils are coming. You know that. The Bible says so. A kingdom of devils is going to come and take over this world, and I don't want to be part of it when it happens. Yeah. Hey, I love you. God bless you. Tomorrow, Pure Bible Study. New Watchman broadcast. I'm going to try to get it recorded tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sweetie Pie and I are going on vacation by ourselves. We're adults. We can do that. Okay? Anyway, just a little time away for me and Sweetie Pie. I'm not leaving you forever. I'll be back. All right? And then we'll see you. So, okay, be at church with us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Join us in our live service. You're the reason why we do what we do. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you.